Okay, there's been a lot of talking tonight, so I'm going to do kind of speed round questions here. The first question: the war in Iraq may in fact have brought conditions for effective democracy in Iraq. Do I understand you correctly? I'm saying that democracy could come to Iraq despite the best efforts of the Bush administration because of the incredible courage of the Iraqi people in demanding democracy. And we shouldn't be afraid of saying that something positive could happen in Iraq just because we're afraid of being proven wrong or having our anti-war egos hurt. Our goal must not be just simply to watch Bush fail. It has to be for the Iraqi people to win. We cannot be so afraid of looking like something positive could come of the war that we don't actually join with the Iraqis and fight for their freedom and democracy. I hope I've made it clear. If democracy does come to Iraq, it really will be despite their best efforts. Now, when is your film coming out? The film is called The Take. It's about occupied factories in Argentina. I spent a lot of time on occupations. That's a bad occupation in Iraq. This is a good occupation in Argentina. You can find out where you can find out more at thetake.org. What can we do here concretely to support Iraqi democracy? One of the principles that we need to, I think, really embody in our anti-war organizing is the idea of taking leadership from Iraq. I think our greatest mistake as an anti-war movement was during those protests that I described of 100,000 people on the streets of Baghdad shouting for direct elections, saying we don't want our first government to be appointed. And now I've told you all the damage they did when they had their puppet government in place. Why didn't we mirror those protests here? You know, we tend to have our protests when we want to have them, you know, on anniversaries and things like that, which can be very good, but we also need to be able to organize quickly and respond when clear demands like that are coming out of Iraq. So what, you know, we need to be able to respond when Fallujah is under siege, but we also need to be able to respond in a situation like we're in right now, where Iraqis have made their desires for withdrawal very, very clear. You know, we've got our marching orders, and that means it's time to march. So, how do you counter critics who say we can't leave Iraq because it has to be stabilized, or until it's been stabilized or is able to govern itself? I'm going to read another question, which is kind of related. I'll answer them both. At the World Social Forum, I met a professor from University of Baghdad who said that if America brings its troops home, all of the terrorists who've come into Iraq will cause tremendous chaos. What do you feel is the solution? I don't want to present an overly rosy picture of what has been allowed to happen in that country. It's true that they didn't secure the borders. It's true that there are terrorists like Zarqawi, who are doing things like what we saw in Iraq over the past 4 days, targeting Shia civilians as they pray on the holiest day of the calendar and slaughtering them, okay? The Iraqi resistance that is a nationalist resistance has roundly condemned these attacks. Yet, they are also saying that they want Americans to leave. We do a lot of hand-wringing in this country and in the West, sort of waiting for when we think it's safe, when we think it's okay. I really do believe that that having a majority of Iraqis clearly saying through various means, not just armed resistance by any means, but democratic resistance at the polls, voting for parties, saying we want you out, we can control the country, we actually have a duty to listen to them and not pass some litmus test that we decide when they're ready for their democracy or for their sovereignty, because then we're just replicating these same patterns. That said, you know, we hear again and again about Iraqi security forces needing to be ready to take over. And it really is a problem that Iraq's security forces are also being slaughtered in Iraq. It's not that, once again, the lack of training is not the problem. The occupation is the problem. The reason Iraqi soldiers and police are being targeted for attack is because they are an extension of the U.S. occupation. They are the literal human shields of the occupation. They're put You know, when U.S. soldiers decide they can't raid a mosque in Baghdad, they send in the Iraqi forces to do it for them. They put them into the most vulnerable situations. And when we hear about how they're not trained, they're not performing well, often what that means is that they're staging a mutiny because they will not carry orders that require them to wage war on their own people. The best way to strengthen Iraqi security forces is to de-link it from the occupation, because that's their greatest liability. So don't buy this idea that they're strengthening the Iraqi police and soldiers. They are getting them slaughtered. They're not helping anyone. What is the impact of our occupation in Iraq on the future of a Palestinian state? I think overall the impact of American preemptive wars and occupation is it obviously legitimizes preemptive wars and occupation, and nowhere more so than in Palestine. And we've seen this very, very directly with Sharon just immediately responding, not just to this war, but also the war in Afghanistan, as if he has an absolute free rein. And there's certainly very little moral authority, but I would personally question whether there ever was moral authority to take Sharon on for his occupation when the U.S. is actively occupying Iraq. Also, the two occupations are very, very linked, and this brings me to my next question, which is, what do you think we should do besides the marches that Bush ignores? Many of us are demoralized. Well, you know, what I've tried to, I think that Tom has given us some very, very concrete actions that we can take. Arundhati Roy has also given us some great ideas about how to make war unprofitable through campaigns targeting companies like Bechtel, which I also think are key. But I also think that we can't be afraid of complexity. And understanding, for instance, that the occupation of Palestine, the brutal occupation of Palestine, the denial of the right to a Palestinian state, destabilizes the entire region and is core to the problems going on in Iraq right now, that nothing is going to be resolved unless that is also resolved. Now, I think we fear complexity. We somehow tell ourselves that if it doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, people won't be able to understand it, and we dumb our movements down. I think that's a huge mistake. You know, what I've tried to do here tonight is tell our own story, tell a counter story, to do battle with the story that we're being told over and over again on the news, and provide a series of demands which understands how democracy actually works and learns from how past liberation movements in South Africa, in Argentina, and Chile, where people have fought for their liberation only to find that the deals that were made in the back rooms in the transition period shackled them and meant that they had the vote, but they didn't have the tools to actually run their country to this day. I think we need our own narratives, and I think we need to have a complex, multifaceted, sophisticated political strategy. Let's not be afraid of it. We are at a very strange moment, because as Tom said, support for this war is very, very low. Morale within the military is very, very low. Americans are not in any way happy with what Bush is doing in Iraq. But at the same time, as support for the war drops, so do the numbers of people turning out to our marches. So the lack of support for the war in Iraq has in no way translated into support for an anti-war movement. And I think part of that is actually a very moral impulse that we hear from people in this country, which is this sort of twisted Pottery Barn rule. You know, we broke it, we bought it, we can't leave now, we're against the war, but we can't just walk away. I think that the place where that comes from is actually a profoundly moral place, to say we are engaged, we did do damage. We can't respond to that with, let's get the hell out. That's not good enough. We need to respond to it with our own moral authority, with our own language of responsibility, with our own complex plan, so that it's credible, so that we're providing a real alternative, not a bumper sticker. And I believe that if we do that, if we're not afraid of complexity, then we'll start to see that opposition to the war translate into support for a genuinely dynamic anti-war movement. Thank you so much for coming, and I really want to thank Robert Greenwald and Lisa Smith-Lyon for making such a wonderful evening.